And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Houndon. He's one of the employee owners of Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online, 860-522-9842 on this lovely Saturday morning. Yes, last weekend I was at a wedding of my sister-in-law, so couldn't be here with you fine folks. I was out on the Cape. Beautiful weather for a wedding on the Cape last weekend.
Oh, so yeah.
Went very nice. And but we're back to business here to help you guys out with your computer problems, comments, and issues. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And we will do what we can until 11 o'clock. So as usual and customary, technology news you can use. Maybe.
Maybe news that you don't want to use.
Maybe news you shouldn't, yeah. Maybe something you shouldn't be doing.
In this case, we've got a story about a hacker who was working with ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Which we've all heard about, and I have used a little bit.
Sure.
Very little bit. However, and nothing earth-shaking ever came out of it. I'm not fully impressed.
An artificial intelligence.
To be honest, one question that I asked was how to do something with a computer, and it gave me information that I happened to know was obsolete about 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, boy. That's not
And
helpful.
Then I told it that. I said, you know, Microsoft rendered this method obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
And then it said, oh, I'm sorry. Now you do this. So it had the right answer.
Right, just
it just didn't
one.
Give it to me the first time. Right. Anyway.
Yeah.
Now, this hacker managed to get into ChatGPT and then convince it to tell him how to make homemade bombs.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, to be clear. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT is programmed by its developers mm-hmm. to not give out that kind of information.
Well, that's nice.
There are what they call very loosely termed guardrails built into ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, it's not stated here in the article how he did it, because you probably don't want people to know how.
Well, you probably can ask ChatGPT.
Well,
that's maybe. The problem with these things.
Maybe that's how he did it. And now maybe they're going to revise the guardrails to change, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he was able to convince ChatGPT to tell him how to make homemade bombs.
That's not good.
No, it's not good at all.
Right. You used to have to go to the library for that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Anarchist your chemistry class.
Or anarchist cookbook or whatever that was that was out there for a while.
Right. So again, the guardrails. It's ChatGPT. What do you want? It's going to be one of those things that we're going to have to be dealing with. And it's out there. I mean,
and as far as I'm concerned, it fits in with pretty much everything about IT.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a computer or you get something, somebody releases a service that's computerized, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always going to be some hacker or malcontent who's trying to, you know, hack into it.
Right.
So then the developers of the computer or the service have to figure out ways to get around that hacker's method of getting in.
Right, blocking.
And then it's a constant seesaw battle back and forth between the bad guys and the good guys. And that's what we're dealing with AI. It's just another example of the same phenomenon.
Yeah. That's too bad. So now the hacker, did somebody arrest him? Did he end up? Did anything about that story?
I don't think there's been any personal fallout, and I don't know if the hacker himself was being malicious when he did it.
Right, just
it
curious.
It might be a white hat.
Right.
The article that I've got is a little bit ambiguous about that. However, he reported his findings to OpenAI, the company that runs ChatGPT, so I kind of would think that he's got to be a white hat.
Yeah, he's pointing it out, saying, hey, guys, did you know I could do this?
As a matter of fact, he put in for their bug bounty program.
Oh.
But the response was that this is not the kind of thing that the bug bounty program is supposed to deal with.
Oh, great. But so they don't call it a bug. It's a feature.
It's not a bug in the program. It's a functionality issue within the software itself. At any rate, they gave him an alternative way to report it.
Oh, okay.
And I assume they're probably going to pay him something.
Mm.
But anyway, that's one of the things about AI. I mean, it's just another, you know, big battle back and forth between the bad guys and the good guys, and it's just another way that shakes out.
Right. And how much energy did it take for them to tell you how to make a bomb?
I don't know. Maybe more energy than it would take or more energy than the bomb itself would release into the environment. I don't know.
You just got to ask yourself, what are we doing? All right, what else you got, Dennis? Anything good?
Now, in the matter of people that were actually doing things that they should not have, not just a white hat demonstrating a problem.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
On a Navy ship, a littoral combat vessel called the Manchester.
The Manchester, yes.
It was.
What are the blokes on the Manchester doing?
Well, it seems that
it's an American ship,
the
though, right?
Chief's mess, the petty officers aboard.
Yeah. Wait. The chief's mess. They're making mashed potatoes. They're peeling potatoes.
It's a Navy phrase.
All right. Go ahead.
I don't really understand all the Navy jargon, this one I happen to know.
All right.
Okay. At any rate, they were getting ready to be deployed.
Yeah.
Now, when a ship like that is on deployment, they get their internet service through the actual Navy infrastructure.
Which makes
sense. Including the satellites on board.
Security.
And it's very secure.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not all that conducive for, normal consumer type internet services.
Right. So if they wanted to watch Netflix or some sort of Housewives of Tacoma, they can't watch it.
Either they can't do it at all or it just doesn't work very well because everything else that's on board is being shared with that connection.
So it's like scrambled, right? So it's like the old HBO days when we were trying to look at it with kids and it was all scrambled. You couldn't get at it.
Not that it's scrambled. It's just that your share of that internet pipe on the ship is very small.
Gotcha.
So, streaming doesn't fly too well.
Well, that stinks. So, they realized that that's the case and they conformed and followed the rules and did nothing and we're moving on to the next story?
Wait.
Oh, no, there's more to the story?
Wait.
Yeah? What did they do?
Well, the chief petty officer aboard went and got a Starlink device.
Sure, why not? Right. Elon.
Okay.
Elon could fix anything.
She signed up for it, paid for a subscription for a certain amount of time, probably for the length of the deployment.
Gosh.
And had somebody install it on the ship in a position where it would, face the sky and be able to pick up the internet.
And that person didn't realize he shouldn't have been doing that or they shouldn't have installed it? Well, the chief told him to.
Well, the article concerns a Navy investigation, and they don't really say much about these other people that were players around her.
Right.
They don't really disclose who they were or the extent of their knowledge of what she was up to.
She probably wanted to watch her cat and make sure it was okay when she's on deployment.
Well, you've also got to remember this is the military. It's a ship that's going out on deployment.
Right.
When the chief petty officer aboard tells you to do something, what are you going to do?
You're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's how the Navy works.
At any rate, she set this up and she shared it. She set up a Wi-Fi network called Stinky.
Yep, she called it Stinky.
She called it Stinky.
Maybe it was her hamster or something she wanted to watch. I don't know. Or a guinea pig named Stinky. All right.
At any rate, she shared the password with nobody. She actually just would take somebody's computer or device and put in the password for them. It was only used by the other petty officers aboard, not by any of the enlisted crew and not by any of the officers. And they had this little shadow internet connection.
Rogue IT.
Through most of the deployment. Finally, the executive officer and then the captain caught wise to what was going on. At one point, she changed that SID or network name from Stinky to something that evoked or that made it seem like it was like a wireless printer.
Oh, my gosh. She tried to still further obfuscate it.
The network name would have been like an HP number.
Oh, yeah. Very sneaky.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean,
that shows some serious sneakiness.
Uh-huh. Well, the Navy report about this kind of says that.
Yeah.
Because all they're trying to focus on is intent, and everything that she did
just
shows the intent.
Right.
At any rate, she's in a whole lot of trouble.
Good.
There's a court martial either underway or just concluded.
Right.
So it's very bad. But the reason I brought this up is because this is an example of what you just called shadow IT.
Rogue IT.
Or shadow rogue IT, IT yep. whichever one you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it's a problem not just on warships, but at businesses and, you know, all kinds of institutions of any kind. You know, people will figure out, you know, ways to build their own little networks because they don't want to have to deal with the actual network itself and how it operates. So they go around it. And once you start doing that, you open up a lot of doors for a lot of malicious stuff.
Yeah.
Especially because the people who are interested in setting up these rogue IT operations aren't security minded.
No. No.
You know, they don't know how to make sure that, you know, important military data doesn't leak off the ship over Starlink.
They just want to, you know, watch the Real Housewives of Tacoma.
Or whatever the heck it is they're trying to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. And a Navy ship, I mean, to find that out at the very end of the deployment.
I think it was near the end of the deployment that the whistle was blown and it was removed.
My goodness. I remember the stories. This is way back where some officer was in a submarine and digital cameras were just coming out, or his cell phone just started taking, you know, had pictures, the ability to take pictures. And he took a picture of his of where he was going to be. And he got in huge trouble for that. We've seen pictures of XP operating systems on these old, on these destroyers and what have you. It's like, you know, and we were already moving way, we're up way beyond Windows 7 and they're still running on XP. So, the, you know, they take it seriously, but some of that was innocent. This was purposeful. So
very much so. And that, like I said, the Navy report makes that clear at many different points in the narrative about what was going on.
Pretty self-destructive.
Yep.
So stay away from the rogue IT guys, because when you do it in your businesses, companies like us who are trying to help you can't.
Right.
We don't know why IP conflicts are occurring. Well, it's because you put this Linksys home router in your network thinking it was going to give you better Wi-Fi, and it's handing out IP addresses, and you're yelling at us that you can't get online. Well, of course you can't, ding-a-ling. You put another router in there.
Just a few weeks ago, we had an incident, something like that, where somebody put a device on a network that was handing out DHCP addresses.
Of course it was.
And then the network breaks.
Of course.
And everybody's mad, and nobody knows what's going on. And it actually takes us quite a while to figure it out.
Right.
Because you can't automatically tell based on the symptoms that that's what's happening.
Right.
You actually have to backtrack it and then figure out what the actual issue is.
Yeah, so just because you think you know a little bit about IT, don't be plugging things into your network willy-nilly. You're welcome to, in our case, it's your company, your business, but at least let us know. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Grant, hang on. And everything we talked about will be posted live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It'll be posted over on our Facebook page over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. You can join us. It's a little private group there, but we're broadcasting our little Facebook live show here too, and all the links will be posted there. And if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get to your news feed. We'll be right back. And we are back.
Ooh.
And Carolyn's picking the tunes, and I like what she picked. A little con for us. This is such a great group. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and let's see what we can do to help you out with your computer problems, comments, and questions and concerns. And, of course, if you feel like saying that about your computer, screaming like that, Khan, you know, basically it's Captain Kirk, right? It's Khan. He's screaming Khan. That's no BS brass. Let's go to Grant right now and see if we can help him out in Glastonbury. What's happening, Grant?
Yeah. I'm the guy who had a problem a couple weeks ago. I called in.
Did we help you?
Yeah, I went. I had a question about getting a router. I've got a router. I got TP-Link. Archer AX4400 or something. Okay.
Yeah.
But I've got all my devices. We're able to connect it up to this.
Nice.
But I've got one. I've got a. I've got my Elite book here. Which it'll connect to the router, but it doesn't. It says unidentified network, and I don't know what to do here. I can't connect.
So it's connecting, but it's not connecting. You're saying you know which SSID it's trying to connect to? Is it wireless or wired?
It's wireless.
Okay.
Well, I'm thinking it's not the computer is not getting a DHCP address.
Right.
Or it's getting a DHCP it's getting an IP address from DHCP, but not DNS.
Right.
So it's not right. able to actually transit to the internet correctly.
Like he's got a static IP set maybe on the network.
I wonder about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my other laptop over here that I've got, when I go and when I open up, and it's got the Wi-Fi and it's got it's connected. This one says the IPv4 connectivity is internet. The other one that doesn't connect says no internet access.
Right.
And then, let's see, connection specific, that's there. Okay, comes yep. down. Description's the same.
So, Grant.
Physical access is different, but then the one that's connected says DHCP enabled, and it's yes.
Yeah. Right.
And over on my other one, it says DHCP enabled, no.
Right. Uh-huh. That's, so it is static.
It's a static address in there. What you need to do is to get into the properties of that Wi-Fi adapter and then change it to use DHCP. We can tell you how to do that by posting an article.
So you've set the IP address, but your DHCP is sending out a different one. So you want to have it receive what you're dishing out, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
What's dishing out?
The router. The router is
the
your
router.
That is your right. DHCP okay. device. A DHCP device hands out IP addresses to all
yep.
all devices on the network. You, on your computer there, the EliteBook, you have said, nope, I know better than the DHCP server. I know what I want for an address. I'm going to put this address in, and I'm going to use it. The problem is
okay.
the device is sending out different information.
Right. And the computer with the wrong
address
IP address is trying to talk to a network that essentially doesn't exist.
Right.
So it doesn't find okay. anything, and that's why it's telling you no internet connection.
Right.
So unidentified network.
Okay. On the network connection details, it's getting on this one that isn't connected. And then down at the bottom, it's got a whole bunch of gibberish or whatever for IPv6 DNS servers. There's
right.
like three items, whereas the other one that's connected doesn't have any of that stuff
right.
on it.
Right, because it's, again, dynamic. It's set to accept what DHCP server is sending out. You just got to tell your laptop to do the same thing. You need
okay,
to have it
so
set as dynamic on both IPv6 and IPv4.
On the
EliteBook.
I do the settings on the laptop, right?
Yep, that's where you're going. And Dennis is going to put a link up there for you as to how to change those settings in those two IPv, in those two protocols, so you can actually
okay.
do it. All right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, Grant.
Thank you, guys.
We'll get you connected, we promise.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Happy to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. I can tell you about my fun with my Nest 4th Gen installation, which...
What?
Yeah. It's just ridiculous that... whatever. we'll talk about it more. By this time, it shouldn't be a big deal, but it is still a big deal. 860-522-9842 is the number. Feel free to get online. We'll do our best to help you out with those issues. And, of course, everything's posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. We are here till 11 o'clock today. And feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Got to remind you, our second annual e-cycling event. It's next Saturday at Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters.
Yeah, it's at the HQ.
Yeah, in East Hartford on Bissell Street. Lowly old one-way street, Bissell Street, but there's a beautiful mural.
Oh, yeah, it says Welcome to East Hartford.
Right, if you're coming from South Windsor, you see it. If you're coming from any other direction, you don't see it.
Right.
But come on down during the show. We'll be broadcasting live and... Environmental Office Solutions, one of our clients and our partners in this event, will be happy to take your electronics off your hands so they're not sitting in your basement, taking up space, or not going to end up in a landfill. They'll help to responsibly recycle them. That's what these guys do every day.
Yeah,
and
it's their business.
If you happen to have an empty ink cartridge, they'll love you for it. bring your ink cartridges and they'll happily e-cycle those. You know, toner cartridges, same idea. But your electronics is something they want to either e-cycle or upcycle, so it doesn't end up in a a landfill. So that this is next Saturday,
mm-hmm.
East Hartford, Tab Computer Systems World Headquarters. And we'll be doing the show live from there. Let's go to your calls. See what AJ's got cooking in South Windsor. Hey, AJ.
You were ready for me. I was calling about recycling my... I have an old desktop Mac.
Yeah.
It's about 14 years old.
Wow.
I haven't turned it on in, I don't know, maybe half that time.
Yep.
And it is in the basement.
Yep.
So my question is, do I have to worry or be concerned about deleting whatever's on there, which I don't know right now what is on there?
Technically, you don't have to be, but you should be anyways, right?
Uh-huh.
Our default advice would be to try to delete any data you want to get off it. That's just our default advice. But these are a professional company here. They're going to e-cycle your information. Not your information, the hardware. They're not going to look at your information. They should be running it through cleaning systems so that they're not going to have access to the data.
Right.
What about the keyboard?
You can bring it and e-cycle it.
Yeah, they'll take those.
Keyboard, printer, monitors.
Keyboards are great for e-cycling because they all have little gold contacts or gold plated.
Really?
Yeah, usually the contacts under the keys are gold.
I didn't know they were gold.
At least that was the case maybe 8 or 10 years ago. All maybe right. Things are a little different now.
Well,
for
they're
all
typically
I know.
Old, so they're going to be the older
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, true,
so.
True.
So yeah, bring it on down. They'll take care of it and you shouldn't have anything to worry about. But you should always consider it.
Do you have any donuts out there?
Donuts? No, we don't have a donut sponsor, unfortunately.
Okay, well, I'll still come.
All right, very good.
I have a general question. It has nothing to do with a problem.
Yeah.
My group, we used to have Sun and Silicon Graphics workstations.
Yeah.
What happened to those companies?
Exactly. What happened to Motorola?
Well, Silicon Graphics got bought out, I think, by Sun.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sun got acquired by Oracle.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Or at least the software side did.
Hmm. Dennis is a historian, and I believe everything he says. So,
actually, back in the day, I actually had access to a Silicon Graphics workstation at one point.
Nice.
Just for a short time, those things screamed.
For
man.
Their day.
They screamed. Those things are wild.
To make a 16-bit picture.
And I actually had what was called a Sun Station.
Hmm.
A Sun Systems workstation. That thing was very fast too, but again, only short time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they'll get acquired. They just get pieces and parts get taken out. And
yeah, I forgot where that ended up. That's a very good question.
We can look it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Just curious. And I'll probably see you next week.
Sounds good, AJ.
Right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah. It's free. Just come on by and we'll take care of your e-cycling. Okay, this is that. There he goes. No charge. Happy to do it. And Environmental Office Solutions, they do this every day. So, obviously it's not just Saturday. If you want to e-cycle your stuff through Environmental Office anytime, they're happy to do it. Now, I tend to take my hard drives out because I kind of consider them a backup.
Right.
And just because I know how the sausage is made. Yes, I have a backup. Don't worry. I'm backing up my stuff. I have backup of a backup of a backup, right? Because I know it can fail.
Right.
Well, there's a story right now that I will quickly bring up before we get to Sherry. Music industry's 1990s hard drives, like all of them, are dying. So the music industry traded tape.
There's a big freaking surprise.
Yeah, they traded tape for hard drives and got a hard-earned lesson. So basically, this is typical of any kind of mechanical thing that's been sitting for decades. Right, it's impacted by heat in all that's environmentally.
It's also impacted by time,
like we all are. And so what happens is when you try to spin that sucker up and it hasn't spun for a long time, it may not spin up.
Right,
you hear a nice clicking sound.
It's been a long time since I've ever heard that click.
Yeah, so
I hope never to hear it again. But unmistakable.
We had to rock it, tap it, or freeze it to get it to work for a moment. Now, this basically hard drives gained popularity over the magnetic tapes for mixing and editing, right? Non-linear editing, right? This is a thing that Tab did long ago. We had non-linear editing video machines that we would build for clients who would want to use digital rather than tape to do all their editing. And so very cool stuff. But now, they're finding these drives are just failing. So right. You have to keep moving the data to the thing you want to move it to. Now, just so you know, moving it to the cloud,
no,
just as fallible.
That's,
you got to back
well,
it up.
Actually more fallible.
Possibly.
Because it can get deleted at any moment.
Just by accident.
And not, it's not a matter of time. It's just, poof, it can be gone.
Right. So I remember listening to Howard Stern talking about baking his tape. Like he had all these old shows that he would that he had, and he sounded kind of tinny because they were old tape. And so you literally baked them. You heated up the tape in some way, shape, or form to get a better sound. He would send them out to get baked. I know. That's the analog days. I'm not making it up. I promise you. So if you put your stuff on a hard drive, so Mike, what I'm saying is when I have my hard drives as a backup and I have them sitting in the basement, right? They still may not spin up if I really need to go look at them, right? I mean, I'm not going to hold my breath. And if I have to go look at those backup drives, I'm really in trouble. Like,
yeah.
My wife is ready to divorce me because I've lost every picture we have. It's literally my hair's on fire, whatever I have left of it, trying to find the data. Because if I have to go to those drives, it's over. Just like the music industry. So we'll put this link up here for you guys. You can take a look at what they did and how they found out the hard way. All right, let's get back to your calls, I think. I'm not used to having commercials, so I'm not sure where the breaks are anymore. Let's go to Sherry in Southington. Hey, Sherry, what's up?
Oh, well, I stupidly let a company put software on my computer, uh-oh, and I want to get rid of it. It's one of those things that software that I guess they can see what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. So that, did you
quote,
fall for
to help you?
Yeah.
Quote,
yeah.
Unquote.
You fell for a trick.
Well, it's called Alpamix.
Alpamix. I never heard of that.
Are you familiar with that?
So this company called you?
No, I called them, and they are a valid number, but the guy I reached was, I don't think he was very legitimate. I don't know.
Okay. So they sold you? Did it cost you anything?
No.
That's weird,
nope,
too.
No. I was just having trouble doing something, and he said, you know, gave me this website, Alpamix, I guess it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it's a support site of some kind.
To yeah, download it, and then yeah, he could see what I was doing to try to
fix it.
Help me.
Did he fix anything? Did he fix anything on your computer?
What's that?
Did he fix your issue?
No.
Did he charge you for not fixing your issue?
No.
Okay, so that's interesting too. So it was all free of charge.
It was a purchase that I made, so it wasn't like he was trying to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he claimed that he had to cancel what I had purchased and repurchase it, and that's where we ran into trouble.
Hmm.
So I never did do anything because he got very mad at me and hung up. So
what? I don't know. You seem very nice, Sherry. We're not going to hang up on you. What was the software that you were purchasing? I'm just curious.
Tickets.
Oh, tickets.
Oh, it wasn't software. It was tickets.
So you were working with a ticket type site to help you buy tickets.
Yeah, Ticketmaster.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So the support software you put on there is probably not malicious. It was probably a tool to try to help him help you purchase tickets. And I feel the same way when I'm buying tickets on these sites. I feel a little like rushed, and I never feel if it's good or not. I feel kind of icky. Do you feel icky when you're using these sites?
Sometimes, especially when you get burned, like when Billy Joel at Mohegan Sun Tickets go on sale.
Yeah.
And 2 hours later, you finally get in.
And they're gone.
And all the tickets are gone. Everything's for resale, and they're $1,000 up per seat.
It's so scammy. The whole thing is scammy these days. And not to mention the convenience charges they hit you with.
Oh, you know, this was the first time I had to get tickets through them.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually this act that we want to go to,
yeah,
I can get them through CPTV.
Yeah.
But this year, apparently, and this would be our 10th concert with them.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, apparently, they were not using CPTV, and I had to go through Ticketmaster, never having done it before.
Yeah.
And so...
it shouldn't be this hard to buy tickets, right? I mean, why has this gotten so complicated? So as far as removing that software, we probably have an uninstall already, right?
Well, yeah, we can provide an uninstaller program,
right?
A link to one. You install it, and when you use that program to uninstall AlpaMix, you're going to select the option. What it'll do first is it'll run AlpaMix's own uninstaller. Then it will check to see if there are any remnants left behind by it. And you select the option to do an advanced scan after the uninstaller is finished.
Yeah.
And it will check for everything. What you're going to do is have it delete whatever it finds. I don't really care what it is. It'll be registry entries, files, and directories. But have this program, it's called Revo Uninstaller, have it remove all of that stuff.
All right.
And then when you're done, reboot the computer.
All right. Sherry, we'll put the link up there for you. And in this modern age.
Well, the other question I had is that I keep on getting these messages saying my McAfee subscription has expired.
Yeah, just uninstall
and
McAfee.
I never bought one, but I think I got it free through Cox.
Possibly. I would just tell you to uninstall it.
Yeah.
Same idea. Just uninstall the software. You don't need it. You're going to use the free Windows Defender, and then you should configure OpenDNS, which we have so many instructions on our website to how to configure that.
Well, I heard you talking about that in your pre-recorded show last week, I believe. So I was wondering, is this OpenDNS a antivirus program?
No, it's more of a safer highway. Like nowadays, when I drive on the highway, I use the HOV lane when I can because I don't want to be in the main lane of the highways anymore because it's a nutty zoo out there, right? Yeah. Right? It's crazy. So I if I've got somebody else in my car, I go to the HOV lane because at least I know no one's going to be swerving in and out of me. You know, no motorcycle is going to literally split the lane between me and a truck like they just did. We're 4 inches away from myself and this truck right between us. I mean, it's nutty out there. So it's a safer internet. That's what OpenDNS is. The idea is you're going to use that DNS IP so that you can be on the HOV lane of the internet, if that makes sense. And they're not going to let you go off on some bad neighborhoods of the internet. You're not going to end up like, you know, Chevy Chase did when he went down the bad neighborhood there and he got his wheel stolen. Remember? He was just looking for directions. You're not going to have that problem with OpenDNS.
So you still need an antivirus software?
No, you're going to use Windows Defender, which is built in. It's good enough.
That's good. Okay.
It is. I mean, you can spend a lot of money on antivirus, but Defender is not really any worse than any of the alternatives. So why spend the money?
Nowadays.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't true maybe, 3 years ago or so?
Right. We just wouldn't trust them.
But you just can't justify the cost or the addition of third-party software that has root privileges on your computer, as we found out from CrowdStrike.
Right.
Just leave it out and just use what's built into Windows itself. It's just a lot better.
All right, Sherry?
So how do I do that? Do I download it or do I already have that?
Yeah, when you uninstall, it'll automatically initiate. So you're all set there. Yeah. Once you remove McAfee, it'll automatically initiate, and then you do have to file.
When you uninstall McAfee,
or McAfee, however you want to say it, it'll automatically initiate Defender. It'll automatically turn on Defender.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, actually what'll happen is once it's uninstalled, you'll see a little warning come up on the bottom right of your screen telling you don't have any antivirus.
Okay.
Just wait 5 minutes and Defender will start working.
But we got to go, Sherry.
You don't even need to do anything.
Okay. We're up against some breaks here. I'm getting yelled at by Carolyn. And we used to not get yelled at.
But you're going to put all this on your website?
Yes, ma'am.
Especially about this uninstall program.
Yes, exactly. We post it.
All right, Sherry?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. We got to go. We'll be right back. All right, we are back.
Ooh.
Carolyn is running the program here today. And as always, let's get right back to your calls. We're going to go to David in Seymour next. What's happening, David?
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Shopping for a new laptop.
All right. Always fun.
And always remember in the past, you guys would say get like an i7 and a certain generation. And
yeah,
when I look now, it says Ultra 7. It's like, well, what does that mean?
Ultra is the newest. It's the newest branding gen. Newest gen, newest branding for the I line of CPUs.
Okay.
And that, so, yeah, Ultra is going to be equivalent of what, i7? And it will be the latest generation.
Well, you can get Ultra i5s, Ultra i7s.
Oh, okay.
But it will be the latest generation.
It will be the latest generation.
Just to confuse everybody.
Yeah. And the only reason we can say that right now is because they just started using that name. So, right, okay. You know, 6 months from now, that won't be true. And there will probably be other generations of Ultra.
Right.
And that word won't have the same impact as it does right now.
Yeah. All right. And then also in the past, you would also always recommend a metal case.
Yeah, the plastic hinges don't work really well. They should be metal cases. You should see like a silvery case. You should be able to tell that it's metal versus, they may not specifically state it all the time.
Yeah.
But it should be a metallic case, not the plastic hinges. They just don't last.
Well, the other issue is that plastic is actually an insulator, a thermal insulator, so it can contain heat and it can build up. In a way that doesn't happen with aluminum chassis, because aluminum or any kind of metal tends to pass heat through.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. All the advertisement, they'll say like it's slate blue aluminum color, but they don't tell you what it's.
Yeah, some of them, I've seen some of the plastic ones that are definitely plastic, but they do have that, you know, metallic gray look.
You may have to double check.
You might have to double check or actually call somebody.
Yeah.
I was going to say all the manufacturers have, you know, customer service lines
or chats
chats that you can use and you can inquire.
Okay. So if I stay with the HP, do you have a particular thing you like or don't like?
I like the Elite books. I like the Envy line still. We've got Pro books. Again, we're always going to be dealing with our customers in the business grade line. So the Envy line has been one that I recommended to
Well, Envy is what I've got right here.
Yeah.
And it's a midpoint line in between the consumer space and the business space.
Right.
And that's what it's designed for. And that should do you well. Or the Pro books, or even if you want to splurge, go with a Z book. Or Elite book.
But that's extremely expensive.
Some of those are really pricey, though. Yeah. And for consumers, it's probably not completely worth the extra.
Yeah, well, I have a 9-year-old HP Spectre 360.
Spectres are good too. Spectre is another line that's kind of in that middle range between the consumer line and the
and it's smaller.
Business
it's line. A smaller footprint.
And they're smaller, yeah.
The Elite book would be the similar one.
Yeah, Elite book.
Okay, guys.
All right.
I think you pointed me in some directions where I can go spend some money.
There you go. Good luck.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And try to keep in that 1,000-plus range. You'll have a better result over time. So real quick with my darn thermostat. So, you know, it's the fourth gen. Okay, it's the fourth gen of this Nest thermostat. I mean, I've set them up at other properties. It works beautifully. But at my house, I have a control pad that's got 6 wires, and it's either going to be set to the heating system or cooling, right? It's got a master-slave environment. And I thought, naively, that by the fourth gen and all the ports on that silly Nest thermostat, that one of them would be like, okay, you can plug the O in here and plug the B in here and you're good. No, it's still the case that you can't. I have to change out my 20-year zone control thing. So that the Nest, this doesn't make sense that I have to have the old technology conform to the new. The new should be able to ingest the old, right? It's a $200 plus thermostat. You know how long it's going to take me a while to make the money back on that thing, let alone having an HVAC guy change out my zone control.
Oh,
right? Welcome to the modern world.
Well, that's when developers make decisions about what you want to do and they don't even think about you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.